Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Atrum Gold Eland Project Scoping Study. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Andy Cosso, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning and good evening, everyone, for those joining us from North America and afar. So today I'd like to take you through our updated scoping study presentation for the Eland Project. I'll be referring to the presentation that was released on the ASX platform on Tuesday. After a short presentation, I'll be happy to answer questions received by the Q&A module, so refer to that link. So let's begin. I'll begin on slide 13 in the presentation. So the Eland Project scoping study was produced in April 2020. We now have produced an update based on developing a world-class 10 million tonne per annum ROM project to deliver 6 million tonnes per annum of hard coking coal production. And that 10 million tonnes, or 6 million tonnes of clean coal, would put us in the top 10 of export hard coking coal mines in the world once developed. So the recent work we've done certainly validates that potential, and we're very excited to be able to prepare on that basis. So the revisions that we've done since April for this scoping study upgrade are really centred around three things. Firstly, the November 25 Isolation South resource upgrade, which gave us an enlarged and enhanced mine schedule and production target. Secondly, the sheer scale of the Isolation South project now enables us to defer Eland South and provides optionality for a future mine expansion. And really importantly, as we move forward through the development process, it offers simplification and permitting efficiency. Through a reduced, smaller footprint with Isolation South only, and a simpler asset configuration. And thirdly, we've been able to refine our capital cost estimates from the recent pre-feasibility study work stream that commenced a few months ago. Importantly, all the other key input parameters from the scoping study remain unchanged. So we're maintaining the 10 million tonne rate, yield at 60%, and price guidance as per the April scoping study. We appreciate Polaris for preparing this independent update, and also the contribution of others involved in the scoping study in April. I'll now refer to slide 14. As mentioned, the resource upgrade is really the cornerstone of our ability to produce this update. We did an extensive drilling program in 2020 at Isolation South. So around 125 rotary air blast holes, 35 large diameter core holes, which form the basis for our coal test work in terms of coal quality, as well as washability and yield modelling, as well as 6 geotechnical and hydrogeological holes. That informs not only our baseline environmental studies, but also key design parameters for our mine and waste dump design. So the objectives from that work were to achieve a substantial resource classification upgrade and also deliver any potential resource increase. So we're really pleased to announce in November that we saw an increase in measured and indicated at Isolation South from 82 million tonnes up to 175 million tonnes. So that 93 million tonne increase was an increase of 113%. And that provides a fantastic basis for the PFS and for the development of the Isolation South project within the Eland complex. The total Isolation South resource also increased by 14%. And now at the Eland project in entirety, we have almost half a billion in coal resource. There is a further resource update expected in the first quarter of 2021. As we complete coal test work through the last quarter and into early 2021, we will then report an update on that resource for Isolation South, which is informed by that coal quality test work. And we expect and anticipate a further upgrade in classification. I'll now refer to slide 15. Really importantly here, the graphic demonstrates the impact of the additional drilling we've done in 2020. If you look at the before and after pictures on this slide, you can see the sparsity of the drilling in the orange zone as it was back in April. The intensive work we've done through 2020 has enabled us to declare a great proportion of that northern section in the indicated and measured status. So back in April, we had a practical pit shell containing around 188 million tonnes of ROM coal. That's largely the same, but back then, because of regulatory compliance, we couldn't report a substantial proportion of those inferred resources, which at the time amounted to 108 million tonnes. Through the upgrade in classification to indicated and measured, we now can include those tonnes. And that really drives a number of things. A 5 to 6 year extension in mine life for Isolation South. Really importantly, that northern section, which has been converted from inferred, has a lower average strip ratio. And we'll look at some figures that show as we start the operation in future years, the strip ratio is even lower in that northern section, which then translates to lower operating costs. So this acceleration of lower strip tonnes early into the mine schedule is really a key driver of the value that we're seeing from this updated scoping study. So we looked at what Isolation South offers as part of the overall ELAN project. And, you know, looking at practical sustainable mining rates, the ability to generate a world-class scale of 10 million tonnes of ROM over a 20-year mine life is certainly compelling. And we're looking here at a picture on the right of really the location of Isolation South. To the north, we see ELAN South down to the southeast, and a picture of the potential conveyor pathway or easement for coal transportation down to a train loadout proximate to the main line, which will go out to the Western Canadian ports. So ELAN South in future will offer a low capex expansion. It will be proximate to infrastructure. And whilst Isolation South offers a fantastic start for the first 10, 20 years, we can look at the optionality of ELAN South going forward. So based on that sole sourcing of Isolation South, we were then able to consider and update our capital cost estimates. And through the PFS, we've been able to provide more detail. Our capital cost has increased. Estimate back in April was $683 million US. We're now looking at $773 million US based on an increase in conveyor as well as power reticulation to site. That still places us around about US$130 per tonne as a capital intensity, which for new greenfield coal developments puts us around the first or second cost quartile. I'll now refer to slide 19, which provides a summary of the updated scoping study outcomes. As mentioned earlier, we've kept throughput, we've kept yield, and we've kept price the same as back in April. So the price we've used in our forward projections is US 138 FOB Queensland equivalent, which is around about a 2% discount to the benchmark price back that we used of 141. And just a reminder, over the last 10 years, that benchmark price has averaged around about US 180. So many we've spoken to suggest that 138 is conservative as you look at the supply and demand of coking coal going forward. We've been able to extend mine life, as I said. we've been able to upgrade our post-tax NPV by around 62%, heavily driven by a reduction in cash OPEX cost by around $6 US per tonne. And really the main driver of that, as I said earlier, is ROM strip ratio. So if you look at the chart on the lower right of the slide 19, you can see how strip ratio compares on a clean coal basis to some of our near neighbours. Grassy Mountain's projections are around 9 BCM per tonne of clean coal. In 2019, Teck in the Elk Valley was up around 11. In our scoping study back in April, we were sitting around 7, and now we've been able to bring that down to around 5.5. And in fact, in the first 10 years, we can bring that down even further to closer to 4. So that is an incredible comparison and a real driver of value in those initial years. The production schedule comparing now and April is very compelling. So if you look at the chart, the green bar is production rate over the life of mine, which shows that 10 million tonne rate, and also shows the extension of mine life compared to the grey bars back in April. But really telling is the strip ratio. So if you look at the green line compared to the grey line, you can see the significant incremental benefit or difference from the strip ratio from the previous scoping study. So again, emphasises how important Isolation South is as a flagship initial project. And of course, in later years, we can consider the introduction of Eland South as a low capex expansion. And just to summarise on slide 21, the overall project quality and value enhancement that the updated scoping study has produced. So you can see how compelling the numbers are in comparison, generating higher returns compared to the scoping study. And again, I think you would agree, a pretty compelling basis to move through PFS, DFS, and through our planned permitting phase in future years. Looking at the change in operating costs based on the April and the current scoping study update, we see that that key driver in the mining area, so around about a $5 reduction. And the mining costs include expenses for leasing costs on the equipment, which aren't capitalised. But we see that around about that $4 to $5 reduction in operating costs, which now pushes Eland into the upper end of the first cost quartile and provides a very strong basis for future development, comparing very well to our peers to Teck and to Grassy in the same vicinity in Eastern BC and Western Alberta in Canada. Looking at slide 24 and just giving an overview on key opportunities, we're doing a lot of work at the moment in terms of washability, looking at product dash, looking at product yield. We'll provide further guidance on this in Q1, but really if you look at the Teck, the Elk Valley mines, looking at the coal composition, the quality based on their historical production versus the test work we've done, you know, we anticipate that there is opportunity to move our product yield 60% or above. That work, as I said, is ongoing, and we're looking at that as a part of our overall marketing and product strategy, looking at what's the best positioning to allow Eland to establish market acceptance and penetration in around 5 years' time. So just showing the sensitivity in yield, that for every 1% change in yield, it changes NPV by about US 50 million. So quite a significant driver. Price, talked about potential conservatism in our estimates, so very sensitive to price. The consensus outlook for coking coal remains strong despite the current trade tensions between China and Australia. But looking at where the supply side sits in future years and some diminishing supply from existing mines, and it really does open up the opportunity for a project of Elan scale to replace some of that supply in 5 years' time and for decades thereafter. We're also just to mention that we've underexplored or underdrilled much of our 40-kilometre strike length. We've got 500 million tonnes or thereabouts in resource, but there's further upside and opportunity to develop further operations within the Elan complex. So, yeah, we look forward to future exploration. Our focus currently, though, is really on Isolation South and ensuring we've got the foundations for a great PFS and DFS moving forward. So Elan South, as mentioned, is that option for a phase two development or expansion or extension, and there's considerable upside through the introduction of that in future years. So looking at slide 29, our pathway to development. So we're now in the December quarter. We've updated the scoping study. That's happened in parallel with some extensive work that's going on with our pre-feasibility study. Our guidance is that will be done by the end of Q2 2021. That then informs production rates, desirable asset configuration, as well as footprint to guide final environmental baseline studies. This will be our third year of baseline study work, which we can then direct and focus on the planned footprint. That then informs the impact assessment, which can be submitted to the regulator by early 2022. And a DFS can commence in the second half of 2021 also to provide that definitive basis moving forward. So that puts us into an approvals two-year estimate by sort of end 2023, early 2024 is our target. Doing a lot of work with First Nations, government, regulators and communities. It's a key component of our work and development going forward. On slide 30, just to emphasise, we're looking clearly at a sustainable development with leading practice from an environmental impact standpoint. For working closely with many groups and wanting to provide a real win-win basis for many stakeholders in Canada, and noting the estimated quantum of royalties and jobs that this project can generate over time. So I'm looking forward to getting to Canada and working with our fantastic team and our stakeholders in bringing this to life in future years. So just in summary, again, emphasising the rare credentials and the rare opportunity that the Elan project presents, almost a 500 million tonnes in a major hard coking coal basin in Western Canada, shallow and thick coal seams, an even lower strip ratio than where we were back in April, which is really driving a fantastic value profile. Continuation of coal quality work emphasises our Tier 1 credentials, access to infrastructure, so available rail and port capacity, and we are having discussions with a number of those providers moving towards eventually moving towards commercial agreements in future. We've got a great team in Southern Alberta and BC working with myself and the board to deliver this project. And we've got overall a great market outlook for new entrants, particularly of this scale and quality. So thank you very much. I'm happy to hand back now for Q&A.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Andrew Hines from Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Andy. Good overview. I mean, it's pretty obvious this is just a fantastic resource. The scale of it, the quality of the coal, the thickness of the seams, the low strips you've got, it's just, clearly this will be something that does contribute to global supply at some stage. I guess the key questions investors will all be asking is the process of getting it into production and the permitting process in particular. As you've gone the early stage now in the PFS and also watching what Grassy are doing to the south, who are now in the final throes of getting their permit, is there anything that you're seeing that makes this different from Grassy? If they get their permits issued in the second quarter of next year, I think is what they're targeting, is there anything that would make us believe that this is going to be a different process to what Grassy are doing?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Andrew. So I think Grassy's hearing's just finished and the joint review panel will prepare their report for the ministers. So, we're eagerly awaiting the outcome of that and, very much behind seeing Grassy get permitted, hopefully, by mid-2021, which will be clearly a catalyst for us. And really that's on the basis that, we see the assets and the plans that they have, Andrew, and the impacts will be very similar. We're using consultants that have worked on the Grassy permitting application, and that knowledge and learnings that we can gain from that Grassy experience through the permitting process are going to be invaluable to us. So, we expect it'll follow a very similar pathway with respect to impact assessment and plan mitigation, and we're actively working with our consultants and within the Atrium team to deliver that in future. So I think we obviously watch with great interest with what's happening with Grassy.
Great, thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will pause as we wait for participants to join the queue. Your next question is a follow-up question from Andrew Hines from Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Andy. If no one else can ask a question, I'll ask you another one. In the original scoping study, one of the options you sort of flagged there was the potential to defray a lot of the capex through a build, own, operate, transfer model. Is that still something that you think is something you could do to make the initial capex lower?
We'll look at those capex opex trade-offs as we look at refining the final scope, the final position for the PFS, Andrew. So potentially build, own, operate is one model. We'll look at, what makes sense in terms of optimising the returns. And so that's one avenue. There's other avenues that we'll certainly explore looking at those trade-offs and, how we want to best position this for future financing and development. So, there's nothing being discounted at this stage. So, it's a natural evolution as you move through PFS and into DFS to explore all those avenues to, optimise returns.
Great. And one more from me then. So you're still doing some coal quality test work and, you've mentioned that the study at the moment is on the basis of a 60% yield and it could be higher than that. Do you have any indications for us at this point on how high you think that yield could get to?
Yeah, I don't really want to speculate on at the moment, Andrew. I think what we're seeing is neighbouring Teck, it's same coal measures that Teck are mining and, they've got between 60 and 70. We're doing pretty rigorous test work and analysis now that will inform that. And, ensuring that we can deliver, the highest quality product into the market or product suite and with consideration of yield and overall value. So So look, I think at the moment we're comfortable that, you know, 60% is a reasonable basis to work from. And yeah, we'll complete that analysis by Q1 and inform the market. So but yeah, a lot of work going on in that space at the moment.
And the final one from me, Andy. So you mentioned that the tenements you've got are very lightly drilled, and you've now got, I mean, it's almost the case now the resource is so big at Isolation South, you almost don't need more resource. But at some stage, you know, if we want to expand this further, then you need more drilling. What is your current thinking about when you would start to drill more of the tenements?
Yeah, look, I don't think it's a focus for 2021, Andrew, but if you look in future years, the ability to leverage the existing infrastructure once Isolation South is financed, constructed and operating, you know, the ability to leverage that infrastructure and improve returns, you know, makes sense. So, you know, I think we've got time to drill further in future years. And but I think you're right. I think $500 million's a great start. We've got Elan South sitting there as well. So, yeah, it's just a question of where we want to take that expansion and returns in future years. So it's a good foundation to work from, but I wouldn't say it's our key focus right now.
Yeah, great. I'll leave it there, and if anyone else wants to ask some questions, yeah, great work, Andy. It's a terrific update and obviously a fantastic resource.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I will now hand back to Andy for closing remarks. Pardon me, we do have a question. Your next question comes from Brett McKay from Petra Capital. Please go ahead. Brett, your line is active. Do you have yourself on mute?
Yeah, sorry, I had it on mute. Apologies, guys. My line dropped out, so I actually missed a couple of those questions. So apologies if I ask the same ones, but let me know if I do, and we can come back to them offline. I just wanted to know, Andy, how important is it to you and the company to have that single footprint from a permitting perspective? You know, obviously, you've excluded Elan South from this plan. I just wanted to appreciate the importance of streamlining the permitting on the basis that you sort of have that single footprint.
Thanks for the question, Brett. So I think there's a number of considerations here. I think looking at the cost to complete final environmental baseline surveys, we can now direct that entirely to Isolation South. So there's some savings in terms of capital spend through 2021 on that basis. But I think just from the purposes of the regulator, stakeholders, and other, you know, other key interested parties, I think presenting a streamlined, simplified footprint and initial asset configuration through from mine to the train loadout, you know, from our point of view, just makes sense. And just, you know, you're retaining the optionality over Elan South. I think that's well understood. But yeah, just from a basis of representing that initial project description and impacts assessment, it just simplifies the basis of the project, which we think certainly can't hurt the process once we get into permitting.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. And just I guess an extension of that question in some ways, the grassy permitting process, is there any update? I understand that hearing has been recently concluded or might be ongoing, I'm not sure, but is there any comment you can make from, you know, what you've learnt from that?
It was concluded last week, Brett, and we're now compiling advice from our own observations as well as that of our consultants that either participated in the hearings or observed like us. So that was over a 4 or 5 week period, pretty extensive discussions. So we're now compiling what the key learnings and how that informs our plans and process going forward in 2021 and 22 with the initiation of permitting. One of the key things, as expected, was water management and discharge, so ensuring a lot of discussion around requirements for grass to meet thresholds or below thresholds in terms of water discharge, selenium and nitrate management, ensuring that, you know, as a greenfield proponent, threatened species are protected with that prudent water discharge. So I think that was, you know, as expected, a key element, and we're very much committed, as I said, to sustainable development, leading practice in terms of things like saturated rock fill and other mechanisms that can ensure that our discharge of our water from our processes is the cleanest it needs to be, and that's a key mandate for us moving forward.
Okay, great, thanks. And just finally, on the CapEx update, can you provide a bit more granularity as to what exactly changed between the number in April and the number we've now seen in December? Not a long period of time, obviously, between the two numbers. Can you just provide a reason to why those numbers you've presented now maybe are bigger than what they were not so long ago?
So, look, I think it's been informed by the early work we've done in the PFS, certain early trade-off studies in looking at, you know, finalising the basis for the PFS. And in doing that, we took a rigorous look at those estimates from the scoping study in April. And, you know largely they're still on foot, but we felt in terms of power and coal transportation, they were slightly undercalled in April, and felt it was necessary to disclose that material change. So it's really, as we move through into PFS, we're going through this in a more rigorous and more detailed fashion. So I think that update was warranted. But as per the earlier discussion, the earlier question, we'll look at opportunities around CapEx, OpEx trade-off, and, you know, what makes sense from an eventual project configuration and estimate. So,
do you feel like there's a high degree of confidence in that number now? Or do you feel that that's sort of a comfortable enough conservative estimate that's sort of not going to slip around too much from here?
Oh, we're pretty comfortable with those estimates now, Brett. So, yeah, I think it's... It was based on, as I said, a more rigorous assessment, and yeah, we're happy with those numbers.
Okay. Just finally, Andy, there on that conveyor route, does any of that route follow the existing oil corridors, pipeline corridors that exist, or is this a new route?
We're still looking at evaluating a number of routes, but there is an abandoned pipeline corridor right away that does offer, yeah, a potential pathway for coal transportation. So that's been considered amongst others at the moment, Brett.
Okay, cool. All right, thanks, Andy. Good job.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you. There are no further questions. I will now hand back to Andy for closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for participating and for listening today, and really appreciate the support of all our shareholders and our consultants and everyone involved, the Atrum team, Polaris and other consultants in the preparation of the updated scoping study. So thank you very much for today, and that now concludes our investor call.